Thanks for tuning in to the Catalyst Church Sermon Podcast. Our church's mission is to help people far from God find life in Jesus Christ. For more information about Catalyst, go to www.thisiscatalyst.com. Now let's listen in.
Thanks, Jeff and Hannah. Well, we talk a lot about community here at Catalyst, don't we? Right? We talk about community. We got C groups. We're going to have a sense of community, relationship, camaraderie here. As I was walking around this morning, I experienced and I sensed a whole nother level of community. If you're wearing a flannel shirt this morning, I want you to raise your hand. Look at all the flannels in the room this morning. I love it. I'm kind of disappointed. Usually Lippert and Chad have a flannel on. They don't this morning. Oh, he's got it in his hand. All right, he's still part of the club. All right, fantastic. We'll accept that. He's got it on his person, so that's cool. But yeah, we're like taking selfies like, oh, it's the flannel gang, flannel Sunday. And anyways, 20 days ago, we launched an initiative, a focus, a theme for 2020. 20 days ago, well, maybe 21 days ago, because yesterday was day 20. About 21 days ago, we said we are going to lock arms together as a church. We're going to be united as a church, as a family, as the flannel gang. We're going to be united in praying for those that need Jesus. We're going to take this 20 days to create in our lives intentionality, maybe a level of intentionality that had not existed before. And we said, we want you guys and gals, when I say guys, that's a very, very generic term. We want you guys to partner with us by finding some names, to think about some names, to identify some people in your life that you want to come to Jesus. And as an element of this, to kind of elevate our intentionality, to kind of elevate the importance of it and elevate the experience of it, we said we also want you to do something for the first 20 days of Plus One. We want you guys to have a sacrificial attitude. We want you guys to have an attitude of doing without, so that you can create in your life some space. I don't like the term margin, but create intentional space in your life to connect with Jesus in a deeper, hopefully more meaningful way, by fasting, by eliminating meals, by eliminating social media, by eliminating screens, by eliminating whatever it was you chose to do. And today, what we get to do is we get to celebrate, we get to remember what that 20 days was like. We get to try to remember and commemorate the things that God taught us. So today's going to be unique in that. We're going to give you guys a chance in a few minutes in this morning to share with us, to share with your family, to share with your community, and we'll give preference to people of flannels, but we'll let you share what your experience was like for the last 20 days. And to kind of guide you, to kind of get your mind moving in the right direction on your program that you got handed this morning, on the loop that was handed to you this morning, there's a few questions for you to consider so you can kind of start thinking through, you know, and kind of forming your thoughts on what God shared and what God did in your life this week. But let me ask you some questions. How many of you would say that the last 20 days were challenging for you? And this is just shorthands. How many for you, the last 20 days was challenging? Okay. Whether that was spiritually, whether that was just physically, the last 20 days was a challenge. How many of you, as a result of the last 20 days, maybe felt a deeper connection to the Lord? You have to raise your hand for this one, okay? No. How many of you, as a result of this last 20 days, realized that you want to continue doing without some stuff in your life? Maybe you realized that stuff that you had been spending so much time wasting, you realize that you don't really need that in your life as much as you thought you did. Okay. How many of you are just glad that the whole thing's over? We literally had people showing up on Sunday mornings like, why do you put all those snacks out there? Jason, you know, I'm not eating sweets. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. Like, you're tempting us in the temple, Jason. How could you do that? Like, well, suck it up, dude, you know. What I want to do this morning, what we want you guys to do this morning is we want to circle back. Because I think we live in such a fast-paced world that when we experience something, we're often ready to move, and that experience closes out, we're often ready to move on to the next experience, right? Last Sunday, football season ended, boom, baseball, pitchers and catchers show up next week. Time to move on to the next event, right? Congratulations, Chiefs. But now it's time for Angel baseball or Dodger baseball or whatever team you follow, and we just move on. And it seems like football was forever ago, but it was only like 7 days ago. But we're ready for the next thing, right? What'd you say? Hey, it's not time for sharing yet. But that's the world we live in. And oftentimes, like I said, when something amazing happens, especially spiritually, we forget to circle back and remember that whatever it was we just experienced was a gift from God. Was something that he's handed to us, something that he has entrusted to us. So what we want to do is we want to be intentional in circling back and recognizing that hopefully God did something really meaningful in your life, maybe something that was very different and very fresh than something that you've never really experienced before. Dude, growing up, my mom was intense in that every Christmas and every birthday, me and my sister, within 7 days of our birthday, within 7 days of Christmas, we had to hand write out thank you cards. How many of you guys had to do the thank you cards as a child? How many of you guys still do thank you cards? Yeah, it's kind of a lost art. We just don't write to each other much. But my mom was like, okay, Jason, your birthday was on Monday. By next Monday, if you don't write all your thank you cards, then I'm going to take your birthday presents and I'm going to hold those until you write out your thank you cards. And it was like this forced gratitude, and she held hostage the very things that I was supposed to be grateful for. But it was such a great life lesson. I used to call her the thank you card Nazi. You know, I was like, geez, Mom, let up, would you? But it was such a good lesson in that it developed in me an understanding of gratitude. It developed in me an understanding of pausing, appreciating, and giving thanks. And like I said, I feel like in our fast-paced culture, we've lost a little bit of that understanding, or we've lost a little bit of that intentionality of circling back and celebrating the things that God does in our life. And when we think of celebration, obviously, one of the first things that comes to mind is like all the great things that occur in our life, right? We celebrate the good. We celebrate the fun. We celebrate the positive. But I know for some of you that the last 20 days were really challenging. We heard a lot of stories of you guys going to battle for those that need Jesus. And when you go to battle for people that need Jesus, it's a fierce battle, right? And you, as the prayer warrior, often deal with the brunt of the attacks. And we have people coming to us like, oh my gosh, Jason, I did not expect that it was going to be this challenging, this difficult to pray for people. So we often think about celebrating the good, but I think what we need to do this morning also is we need to celebrate, we need to remember the challenge of the last 20 days. Because oftentimes in the challenge, what we don't realize is the challenge is made better, or the challenge is made good, or maybe the challenge is just simply made bearable, because in the challenge, even though the circumstance doesn't change, God is with us and God gives us a perspective change. So we're here this morning to celebrate the good of the last 20 days, and we're here to celebrate the challenge of the last 20 days. Because on both sides of the equation, God was with us, and God was in battle with us. And we want to pause, and we want to remember that this morning. You know, in Old Testament times, people were very intentional about remembrance. People were very intentional about commemoration. People were very intentional about celebrating what God has done in people's lives. And what the people in the Old Testament do is they would physically create a monument to remember an interaction with God. They would physically, out of earth, out of stone, they would create what they would call an altar. And that altar was a visible, tangible, physical remembrance, recognition of those times. Like, I remember when God did this because I have this monument to commemorate it. I remember when God taught me this because I created this monument in remembrance of it. I remember when God brought me through this because I created this monument as a remembrance of it. And time and time and time again, particularly in the Old Testament, we see these incredible heroes of faith that God interacted with and God led and God provided and God protected. In those moments, they commemorated those times with something tangible, something physical that they could go back and remember, that they could worship at, that they could offer their sacrifices to the Lord, so they would never forget what God had done in their lives and how God had intersected their lives. So for these last 20 days, We want to talk about where God met you. Did God meet you at the peak of this experience? And it was just amazing the things that God was revealing to you, and you just felt connected to Him in a way that you never had before, and you want to remember the peaks of it, and you experienced the peak connection with God. Or maybe did God meet you in the valley of the last 20 days, and you're like, oh my gosh, God, I did not sign up for this. I did not sign up for the tension that this is creating relationally. I did not sign up for the tension this is creating in me spiritually. Did God really personally meet you in the valley of the last 20 days? The beauty of the concept of the altar is, like I said, it forces a remembrance. It forces a recognition that God is active and that God is in the midst of it. When these monuments and when these altars were built in the Old Testament, they signified often various different things. One is an encounter. They would place an altar, a mound of stone or a mound of earth, where they encountered God, where they had a personal interaction with God. Then there were times where they would build a monument or an altar where they experienced the forgiveness of God. So they would never forget that their God is a forgiving God. They would create an altar to remember that moment. So that when they begin to doubt the goodness and the grace of God, they can go back to that monument and then go back to that altar and say, that's right, God is a forgiving God. And there are times that the monuments they created were simply to worship. And we see these types of altars frequently throughout the Old Testament. And when they gathered at those altars, they would approach them with arms open wide. They would approach them with their sacrifices, their offerings to the Lord. And it was a place to worship and remember. There were altars built to covenants that God made with people, promises and agreements that God made, so they could reflect back and say, God gave me this word, and I'm going to hold on to this promise. I will never forget this promise, this covenant, this pact that God made with me. And that there are monuments built for intercession. And that's a lot of what you guys have been doing for the last 20 days, interceding on behalf of those that need Jesus. So we get to celebrate this morning. We get to remember this morning. Now, we're not gonna physically build an altar here. Maybe you can consider your breakfast burrito an altar. I don't know. But we're not going to physically create an altar. We're not going to physically create a monument this morning. But the concept of remembrance and gratitude and pause is what we're going to remember this morning. We're going to remember it internally. We're going to remember it in our heads. We're going to remember it in our hearts. And I would say this, that probably the concept of remembrance isn't completely foreign to us. I think one of the modern day types of monuments is the selfie, right? Because when we take pictures, whether it's a selfie or whether it's a picture, we are capturing a moment in time, right? We're capturing a moment that was significant to us. And we preserve that moment forever. And we look back at those moments, we look back at those pictures, just as we kind of tie in. We aren't a culture that completely forgets about remembrance. But when you look at these pictures, and I kind of bag on social media a lot, but Facebook is really cool because, like, if you post something today, 1 year from now, you'll be able to look back on it as a memory. So we look at these pictures, and we remember the emotion behind those pictures. I took a picture of me and a bunch of guys in flannels this morning, okay? I'm going to forever remember, like, the flannel crew on February 9th, 2020, you know what I mean? But we look at those pictures, and emotions are tied to those pictures, and memories are tied to those pictures, and smells are tied to those pictures, and the weather and what we were listening to is tied to that picture, and remember what was going on that led to that picture, and remember what went on after we took that picture. So we're kind of taking a mental snapshot this morning of what God did for us in the last 20 days. And I think it could be really powerful. I think it's going to be very appropriate that we do. When we look at those pictures, we look back at those memories, oftentimes maybe a smile will cross our face. Or maybe a tear will well up in our eye. And so many times when those memories come across on my Facebook page, I look at Hannah and Clint and Lexi growing up. And I remember those moments of time in time. And I celebrate those little moments of time. Dave Lippert posted a picture of his kids when they were young. And I know that picture was meaningful to him, just seeing where they were and where they're at now in their lives. So that concept of remembrance is not completely foreign to us. And what we need to do, you guys, is we need to take this moment to pause, because if we just jump back into normal life too quickly, what happens is we crush the gift that God has given us. Whether it is a promise that he's given us, whether it's a verse that he's spoken to us, whether it is a communication that we've shared with him, a commitment that we've made to him or he's made to us. If we just jump back into life immediately and we go back to social media, we go back to the meals, we go back to all those things and we make up for lost time on all those things that we eliminated for the last 20 days, you know what I mean? We crush what God has given us, because it's this beautiful gift that he's given us, that interaction, that intimacy with them. That hopefully has been elevated over the last 20 days. And if we just like jump back into real life, we forget what he's given us and we destroy it. So I would hope, I mean, this is day 21, I guess. I hope that when you woke up this morning, you didn't like overindulge in all the stuff that you'd eliminated for the last 20 days. I don't know. But to re-enter quickly will cause us to trample this beautiful thing that God has given us. So before we rush back into real life, let's give thanks and let's show gratitude and appreciation and praise, you know, this experience together. You know, during the last 20 days, we asked you to be super intentional about people that you could be praying for. That's what Plus One is all about. And it doesn't end. It didn't end yesterday. We're going to continue this all year. But we ask you to be super intentional about these people that you know in your life that need relationship with Jesus. And I had some people come to mind for me, and I know that those names came from the Lord. And maybe you feel the same way. Maybe a name popped into your head like, oh my gosh, I haven't thought about this person in years. And I feel like the names that God gave each and every one of us is a gift from him. I believe that they did come directly from him. These are the people that God wants us to be praying for. These are the people that God wants us to be interacting with. And we've been offering these names to him. We've been giving these names to Jesus. We've been laying these at the foot of the throne saying, God, will you please interact? Will you please intercede? Will you please turn their hearts towards you? And we pray about how we could possibly be a part of his work in making that happen. But here's the truth. Although we may tell God that everyone and everything that we have is for him, oftentimes just a few days later, we forget the very thing that we've made a commitment to God over, for, with. I know there was days over these last 20 days that I forgot to pray. There's a couple of days where I absentmindedly returned to the item that I was supposed to be fasting from. I'm like, oh my gosh, Jason, it's only 20 days. What is wrong with you, you know? And that happens. But the good news is, while we forget, God doesn't. And God comes to us and says, hey, remember, this is what I want from you. This is what you committed to me. These are the people that you're supposed to be offering up to me. And God remembers. And I think that's the beauty of the monument. It helps us remember, right? The altar helps us remember. Abraham was great at this. Abraham in the Old Testament was a guy that God handpicked to be the one that would usher in this incredible blessing on all of God's people. And it says in Genesis chapter 12, it says, the Lord said to Abraham, and his name would become Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. And it says, all families on earth will be blessed through you. And it goes on to say that Abraham went out. Abraham obeyed God. Abraham went forward and did what God asked him to do. And many, many times along the way, we see in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, Abraham built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord. In 8, it says that he built another altar and dedicated it to the Lord, and he worshiped God. In chapter 13, Abraham had built the altar, and there he worshiped the Lord again. In verse 18, there he built another altar to the Lord. Why all this altar building? Because we need to remember what God is doing in our lives. And we need to give him glory. We need to give him praise. We need to recognize where God is active in our lives. To remember and to cherish and to publicize, I would say. Because the altar that you build, the altar that you create emotionally, mentally in your life, the altars that are constructed are not only for us to remember, but for others to remember. For others to be encouraged by. If I build an altar of remembrance to when God delivered an aspect of my life, when God forgave me, when God entered into my life, his relationship, when somebody else walks by, they're like, oh my gosh, this is when Jesus intersected with Jason's life. So it's for us to remember. is for others to see as well what God is doing in our lives. Have you ever felt the Lord put in your life or in your heart an expectation of a promise? Have you ever felt God place in your life the expectation of Him doing something miraculous? Expectations maybe that you had of your plus ones. Oh, my alarm's going off. Stop that. Maybe you have expectations on what the plus one experience is going to look like for you. Maybe you had expectations that when God gave you those names, God would immediately begin to move in those people's lives. Maybe you immediately thought that somehow you were going to have these open doors, the floodgates were open to having conversation with folks. Or maybe somehow, some way, through God's other amazing orchestration, that even if you didn't have a chance to talk to them in the first 20 days, that somehow God would miraculously reveal Himself to them and they would come to Jesus. Maybe some of that happened, I don't know. But we have these expectations of something happening, and I think sometimes we sense something God has put in our hearts and confirmed, but then it starts to look very differently than what we imagine. And when things start to look very differently than what we imagine, we get discouraged. Well, God, you put this person's name on my heart and nothing happened in 20 days. And we think it's going to look a certain way. But I want to encourage you with this, and we're going to kind of head into sharing time in a moment here. I want to encourage you with this. Whatever promise God has revealed to you, whatever names He has put on your heart, whatever expectation He has created in you in this season of your life, God will answer those prayers according to His perfect omniscience and His perfect omnipotency. He is all-powerful and He is all-knowing, and He will answer according to His perfect plan in your life and His perfect plan in others' lives as well. See, Abraham's building of the altar represents him saying, I'm accepting this promise, understanding that it could turn out very differently than what I thought it was going to be. But I know that God is at work. I know that God is doing something. It may look very different. It may look the opposite of what I expected. But I trust you, Lord, and you'll make it work. Because if you look at the life of Abraham, Abraham's life was not easy. There's many challenges. There's many difficulties in moving his family to where God called him to move his family. They faced obstacles, they faced challenges, they faced adversity. But Abraham, through it all, overall, stayed faithful. And in those difficult times, we feel like the promise that God has put on your heart, the name that God has put on your heart, in those times where you feel like nothing is moving the dial, nothing is moving the needle at all, just remember this in Philippians 1:6, and I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. The good work that God has created in you over these last 20 days, we hope, is intentionality. We hope in the last 20 days you have been more intentional and that you will trust that with your intentionality and your trust in God, that He will continue to work this process out in your life. And He will continue to work this process out in other people's lives that need Him. Will you be the lucky person to sow the harvest? I don't know. Maybe not. Will you get to ever visually see that your plus ones come to Jesus? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe some of you will have the benefit of crossing names off of lists. It could take years. We heard from Scotty a couple weeks ago. It could take a long, long time. But will you be faithful to the process? But what we want to do is we want to celebrate. And we want to remember that God is in the process. We don't want to forget that God is in the process. We don't want to forget what God has shown us, what God has revealed to us. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to try something kind of different, something that I don't know if we've ever really tried before. And we're counting on you to not make it crash and burn. Okay, we need your help with this. But what we're going to do is we would love to hear from you, okay? We experienced this as a family, and I think we should remember this as a family. So we got Brian and Hannah. They're going to be roving around on microphones, and we're going to give you like a minute and a half or so. If you go over, there'll be a loud gong, and the microphone will turn off, okay? And a trap door will lower you into the ground. But we would just love to hear from you, okay? We used to do this all the time at youth group. Like, we'd come back from camp, and the kids would share about their experience, you know? Like, why don't we do that with adults, too? So this is your time. encourage us, encourage one another. I know sometimes this can be really awkward. We talked about having people planted in the audience to get the ball rolling. We forgot to do that. Oops. But tell us, what did God teach you? What did God show you? What was the gift that he gave you? What did you see anything moving in these last 20 days? Is anybody brave enough to just raise their hand and share, you know, who you are and just a thought or two about these last 20 days? All right, right over here. And maybe just give your name as you do it too. And stand up so we can see you. All these conditions. And talk into the mic. And you have a minute and a half. And don't go over. Ready, go. Awesome. Cool. So Chris falls, breaks her hip, has hip surgery, and the next day she's up and walking, and Paul got to share that experience with us in our Ruta group. So Paul, thanks for sharing that. Somebody else, something from the last 20 days where you really saw God doing something or something that you learned. Maybe it's something that was a challenge, something that was hard, or something that was ugly or difficult. All right, we got one back here. Cool. Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. An encounter with God at the skate park. All right. Somebody else. Brian and Hannah are available. Get the mics. There we go. Right here.
Good morning, buddy.
Awesome. What's cool is I think sometimes we forget there's power in shared experiences, right? We've been on a journey together, and like you're sharing, like when you doubt, when you get down, we feel distracted, like, well, wait a minute, there's others not only praying the same similar prayers, but there's unity in the fact that we're all praying together, and that unity is what keeps us moving forward down the path. That's awesome. Thank you. Well, somebody else, something from the last 20 days. So I'll hand it there.
Hi, good morning, everybody. My name is Gibson Marcus, and I just want to share with you that, I always love these opportunities and continue to pray for my one. So one of the first things I did while during the service is put their names, you know, as my cover, and that way, every time I open it up, which is every time.
It's a good decision. Cool. It's pretty cool that we realize how much we can do without and still be okay, right? Like, we can do without meals, we can do without the coffee, we can do without the caffeine, we can do without the shopping, we can do without the screens, and life still goes on, right? So hopefully those of you that experienced the beauty of maybe simplifying a little bit, we'll keep moving that direction. The other thing that Gibbs referred to is the dots. You're like, what is she talking about? There should be in the pockets in front of you little red dots. The point of the dot is a reminder to pray for your people. Stick it on your phone, stick it on your watch if you wear a watch, and every time you look, you're like, oh, my dot, I need to pray for my people. So thanks for referring to that, Gibbsy. Somebody else? Yeah.
Man, my class sucked. It was bad. I did the no week from sun up to sundown for maybe a week, and I definitely failed after that. It was super hard, so kudos to you for being able to do that. But I found myself just praying more throughout the day, even though I failed. I found myself praying more throughout the day and just knowing that you guys were doing it also, whether it's whatever fast you're doing, but knowing that you guys were praying more also. Kind of what you referred to as just knowing that everyone else is behind you doing the same thing. It like elevated my prayer, my faith in a way to where it was just more of like a natural thing instead of like consciously having to think about praying. It was more of just like I caught myself praying more than I ever have in my life. It was a really good experience to like, even though I failed, to do this fast with everyone here.
Cool. Thanks for that honesty, Brian. That wasn't... Fasting is not meant to be fun. Fasting is not meant to be easy. It's a sacrifice, and sacrifices, to quote Brian, suck sometimes. So that's just real life, man. Maybe one or two more. We're going to wrap up with our worship here. We'll do Linda, and then we'll wrap up with Mr. Orlando.
My name's Linda. You kind of have these people in your mind that you're going to pray for. You know, my sisters and mom are going to continue to grow in faith, and so I started fasting and I started a new job. So I worked two jobs, I go to school, I have two kids. I've got a lot going on right now. But God found me. So in my long driving and in my training for my new job, I found a radio station and I just keep tuning into it. I found growth in myself because I felt like some of the things that the sermons were talking about really spoke to me. And then I found that God gave me more people to pray for in this instance, which it's a little challenging because I feel like now this particular exercise is just going to continue to magnify and grow. And so I found myself praying more for myself to be able to do this, to be able to continue to come to the plate and pray for these people that are newly introduced in my life or people that are re-entering my life. So anyway, I feel like this is a really good exercise, but also I feel like this is something that's got to be ingrained in all of us.
Rad. Cool. Thanks, Linda. All right.
And during this time, Becky and I both decided to eliminate as much social media as we could. That also included television and anything that required us to sit and stare at something that
Awesome. Thanks, Bob. That is good stuff. And that's, you know, that's why we want to, next Sunday, we want to kick off our new series. You know, there's a passage in Scripture where the disciples who are hanging out with Jesus and have seen Jesus doing cool things, point blank, they look at Jesus and they're like, teach us to pray, Lord. So we want to continue this attitude of prayer. We don't want it to end because these 20 days is over. You guys have experienced something special and unique in your time of reading Scripture. You've experienced something special and unique in your times of prayer. We want to continue to encourage that and reinforce that and train you guys the power of what prayer can look like. So that's what we're going to be doing next Sunday. Guys, we're going to pray. We're going to wrap up our time. Brian and Hat are going to lead us, and the band are going to lead us in some songs of worship to close out our time. But for those of you that shared, thank you. For those of you that didn't, shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. For those of you that didn't, I know that stuff was going on in your hearts. I know stuff was going on in your minds. And I would just pray that you somehow commemorate that. Write it down. Do something so that you can reflect and look back on this monument of these 20 days and what God did in your life during that time. Don't let it get trampled. Don't let it get lost in the rush to get back into real life. And I'm going to encourage you guys, as soon as we're done here, head over to the Connect Center. We got our breakfast burritos over there. Stick around for a little while. We're going to have baptism on the patio. We would love for our Catalyst family to be united, be on that patio for the baptism. It could be really cool. So let me pray, and we'll close out our service. God, thanks so much for today. Thank you for the reminder that we need to pause, and whether that is to construct something physically to remember your goodness or just to reflect in our hearts and our minds and maybe reflect through conversation, to pause and remember the beauty of what you've done in our lives. And Lord, we know that you, just as much as our attitude of prayer and sacrifice should not end over this because the 20 days is over, we know, Lord, that your interaction in our life is not done now that 20 days is over. You will continue to teach. You will continue to guide. You will continue to draw us into closer relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that we would remain faithful to you, faithful to spending time with you, faithful in prayer, faithful in scripture reading, faithful in community with other believers, faithful in praying for those that are lost, to fulfill your call to go to the nations, spread the gospel and the good news. Lord, I pray that these 20 days would be a launching point, not something that we look at in the rearview mirror and we drive away from. Thank you for the precious gift of this last 20 days. Thank you for the precious gift of what you have spoken to us and taught us and revealed to us about others, about you, or about ourselves. Again, may we pause to reflect and cherish and thank you for what you've given us. Share the light. Show.